This is Late Night. This is Late Night on Sports Radio WEEI. Boston Sports Talk for Insomniacs and the Graveyard Pack. Let's get it going with Patrick Gilroy. Late Night on Sports Radio WEEI.
Dave, when you made the reference in L.A. to holding the trump card, how does that
plus mean? Jokers.
What's that?
Plus the Jokers.
Who are the Jokers?
There's 52 cards in a deck of cards and two Jokers in that deck. Never mind. I hope some people will get that.
How does that change things for you?
I mean, it doesn't. I'm still playing baseball, father, husband, son, friend, teammate. It doesn't change.
I mean, that sounded to me like David Price was writing a personal ad, his Match.com profile. Father, son, teammate, dad, whatever. Like, really? This guy, he's got such a cringe factor to me, and I don't know if it's just me. I know that a lot of Red Sox fans really forgave him last year, and with good reason. I mean, look, I rooted for him last year. I will always root for the Boston Red Sox, and I want to see the Red Sox do well. But that doesn't mean I've got to like all their players at all times. I didn't like the move when they signed him, and I don't think that one great postseason means that all is forgiven. Matter of fact, I think that there's a strong possibility, after getting to know him and his personality here over the last few years, I feel like there's a strong possibility that what he did in the postseason last year, that incredible postseason run that he went on, the fact is he should have been the MVP, all that. I think that there's a possibility that that actually emboldens him some more, and he becomes an even bigger jerk because he now holds the trump card, in his words, over everybody else. And that to me is a scary proposition because I don't think all is healed. I don't think that he has found the magic formula for success here in Boston. I really don't. I feel like he got hot at the right time and he pitched his balls off, and I'll give him credit for that till the day I die. But that doesn't mean that I need to root for him every fifth day. It doesn't mean that I even believe that he'll pitch every fifth day, because I don't think he will. And I don't think that he's figured it out to a point where he's going to go into New York and become a stopper. I don't think he's going to go into New York and become, you know, somebody that actually pitches well in Yankee Stadium. He's never really done it before. So what makes us think that just because he had a great postseason run one time, that means he's going to do it again? So here's this thing with David Price. I'm listening to all the reporters down there at spring training. All the reporters, they've all shown up. Everybody's in a good mood, and they're all kissing David Price's ass. A year ago, they hated the guy. A year ago, nobody could stand David Price. They thought his act was tired. They thought his act was old. And now, people can't wait to smile with David Price and, you know, have a little experience with David Price. I was of the camp that I really wanted David Price to opt out of his contract. He could have left Boston on a high note. Here's the thing. David Price was never going to opt out of his contract because, despite the fact that he was awesome in the postseason, despite the fact that he was electric in the postseason, and he finally showed some sack in the postseason, which is what he's been missing for the majority of his time here with the Red Sox, despite all of that, David Price knew that there was no other team out there that was going to match the kind of money that he still has remaining on his contract here with the Red Sox. So what does that tell you? In a world where starting pitching is still at a premium, David Price wasn't going to get the kind of money that the Red Sox gave him, even after proving that he's capable of performing on the biggest stage in the baseball world. What does that tell you? It tells you that there are 30 other general managers out there that aren't willing to pay him that kind of money. Why do you think that is? Because he still has a special and unique elbow, and he still has a very special and unique personality. And I don't believe Red Sox fans, because I've heard from quite a few of you doing Red Sox post game last year and talking to you guys throughout the off season. I've heard from most of you have told me that all is forgiven, that David Price is somebody that you have no problem rooting for now. And to me, I just don't believe it, because to me, the first time he goes to Yankee Stadium, the first time, and he goes out there and he lays an egg and he sucks, I feel like it's going to start all over again. I feel like, you know, it's easy to say that all is forgiven when it comes to David Price because of what he did last year. But at some point, don't we move on from last year? At some point, don't we stop referencing last year? At some point, isn't he going to be held accountable based on what he does this year, what he'll do next year, as opposed to what he did last year? You see, one great postseason run doesn't erase a decade of postseason failure. One great postseason run doesn't erase a decade of an inability to perform at the highest level in pressure situations. And I'm still not comfortable with the idea of David Price being that guy that the Boston Red Sox are going to rely on to go into Yankee Stadium and to shut down the New York Yankees, because I think the pressure ultimately will still get to him. I do. He rode a hot wave in the postseason last year, and I will not take anything away from him for what he was able to accomplish. But again, that does not mean that I need to root for this guy. And it doesn't mean that I buy the BS that's coming out of spring training right now, because that's exactly what it is. It is hot air. It is BS. I don't believe that these same reporters that couldn't stand him last year suddenly are best friends with him. It doesn't sit well with me, because I know it's fraudulent. I know these guys, I know this guy, and I know their personalities, and I know that it's completely fraudulent. And you know, there's a few guys out there like Evan Drellick who have always been in David Price's corner, and good for Drellick. It's their opportunity. It's Drellick's opportunity to really, you know, show his trump card and say, you know what? I stuck with this guy. I believed in this guy. I told you he was going to come through. But the reporters that are like Drellick, that stuck by David Price's side despite the fact that he sucked time and time again in pressure-packed situations, those guys are few and far between. So I wish that people that did my job, or people that were reporters and reported on the Boston Red Sox, whether they're beat guys or opinion-based guys, columnists, whether they're on TV or on the radio or writing in print, writing online, I wish that they would hold themselves accountable for their own takes and hold themselves accountable and really either stick with their opinion or write some sort of a public apology to David Price. Because 99% of the people that covered this guy thought he was a huge jerk. I still think he's a huge jerk. If I were down there at spring training right now, I certainly wouldn't be kissing his ass. It's just not who I am. You know, at this point, David Price has been here long enough and he's played baseball long enough. We all know who this guy is. He's not a nice guy. He can go out there and pretend to be a nice guy, but he's not a very nice guy. And he's not a guy that has any respect for most people that aren't on his level. He's one of these people that, you know, he's going to scream at you, not on my level. That's what he's going to do. He thinks that he is God's gift to the world. He thinks that he is the elite of the elite of the elite. But the fact is this, he doesn't like it here in Boston. He doesn't. But the Boston Red Sox, they paid him a ridiculous sum of money to come here. They coaxed him into becoming a member of the Boston Red Sox financially. Good for him. And for a while, it didn't look like it was going to work out. Ultimately, he earned his money last year. But if we really believe that him earning his money last year is going to give him some semblance of humility and make him an easier guy to deal with, make him a better teammate, make him a guy that is easier to root for, make him a guy that's capable of going into Yankee Stadium and performing at a high level and succeeding in a pressure-packed situation, be it regular season or postseason, I don't buy it. I really don't, because how do you possibly erase 10, 11 years of massive failure with one great postseason run? The math doesn't make sense to me. It is Sports Radio, WEI, room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937, talking Colin Kaepernick, talking David Price, still mixing in some Kyrie Irving stuff as well. Let's get back out to the calls. Let's go to Christian. Christian's in Andover. Christian, you're next up here on WEI.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, Christian.
I'm doing okay. I just apparently learned everything I needed to know. $60 to $80 million for what?
So, again, he sued the league along with Eric Reed, right? So
how long ago did they do that?
A year and a half ago is when they brought the lawsuit against the NFL, and it was a collusion case. So, his premise was, look, I want to play. Nobody's given me an opportunity to play. And it was his belief and his legal team's belief that the league, the owners, they all got together. They colluded to blackball him from the NFL.
So the owners had to admit to that just to get him and his message to go away?
The owners never admitted to it. What the owners did was they gave him $60 to $80 million to go away. So the premise here is that there's some sort of implied guilt, right? Because why else would they give it to him? So I'm sure what happened was that Kaepernick's legal team went to the NFL owners and said, hey, look, we've got this email dialogue. We've got this video recording, this audio recording. It's going to make the NFL look horrible. It's going to prove that you guys colluded against my client, and I am going to release it and make it public, and you guys are going to look like racists. You guys are going to look like race baiters. It's going to make the league look horrible. Either give my client a large sum of money, or, you know, we're going to go public with this information. That's the only thing that makes sense to me. Otherwise, why would the league pay this guy who hasn't played in years $80 million to go away? You know what I mean? It doesn't make sense.
Exactly.
So,
and let's go on to what you're talking about, Ray Allen. What do you really think about coming back? What information did that come from?
So Ray Allen tried to make a comeback, wanted to make a comeback 2 years ago. He reached out to the Golden State Warriors, and he reached out to the Cavaliers at the time where LeBron James was. And he wanted to come back. Neither one of those teams had a roster spot available at the time. Danny Ainge at the time placed a phone call to Ray Allen. But 2 years ago, the Celtics didn't have Kyrie Irving. They were led by Isaiah Thomas and Al Horford. They weren't really a championship contender at the time, and Ray only wanted to come back to play for a contender. The two contenders didn't have a roster spot. Eventually, that talk died down. Tonight, Ray Allen played. He was on national TV. He played in the NBA celebrity game as part of All-Star Weekend, and he looked like a 25-year-old kid. He had 24 points, 9 rebounds, and was tearing it up out there.
That's the thing. If you follow the rules, it doesn't matter how good you are. For basketball is a game of finesse.
It is. And it's a game right now that is predicated more than ever on three-point field goals. And that's something that Ray can still do at an elite level. So it's my opinion where the Celtics, before the trade deadline, they were able to essentially trade away Jabari Bird, who had their 15th roster spot. Right now, the Celtics have got a roster spot available. There's 26 games remaining in the season. It couldn't hurt them to place a phone call to Ray Allen and see if there's any interest in becoming this team's 15th roster spot, essentially.
Exactly. If anything, he could do what James Harden does, makes them foul him.
Yeah, he
gets to the free throw line.
Yeah, in limited minutes, James Harden plays 40 minutes a night. Ray Allen would play 8 minutes a night at his age, but I still think that Ray Allen can contribute to a winner. I think that Ray Allen can be somebody that can sort of serve that role that Kyrie Irving came out with 3 weeks into the season when he declared that the Celtics need a 15-year veteran in that locker room. They said that this team needs a leader, said that this team needs a 15-year vet in the locker room. And Danny Ainge, he never addressed that because, quite frankly, you know, this team right now, they should have leaders. You look at a guy like Al Horford, he should be a leader. He's been in the league 12 years. You know, he's been to the playoffs every year of his career. He needs to be more vocal. He should be a leader. A guy like Kyrie Irving, who's won a championship, who had to stomach and play with LeBron James. You know, if you can do that for multiple years, then you really can play with anybody in this league. But he knows how to win. He should be a leader on this team. Those two guys, even a guy like Gordon Hayward, who at the time was barely playing effective basketball. He's just starting to round into shape. But at his age, with his resume, you know, these are guys that the young players should be looking up to and looking to for leadership. But for whatever reason, it was clear to Kyrie Irving 3-4 weeks into the season that, hey, we are lacking a leader in this locker room. We are lacking a leader, a 15-year veteran. That's what this team needs. Not my words. Those are Kyrie's words. And watching Ray Allen tonight, watching what he's still able to do, seeing the shape that he keeps himself in, it's just a tempting thought. And then you look at the math. It's not like Ray Allen is 50 years old. It's not like I'm looking at him and asking him to do something that nobody's ever done before. Now, people have played successfully in the NBA at his age. Usually it's a big man. Usually a guy like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was able to still play somewhat effectively at his age. Robert Parrish was winning championships with Michael Jordan's Chicago Bulls when he was, you know, Ray Allen's age. But the fact is, they still played. And right now, I think the best example of a guy that's still able to play at a relatively decent level in the NBA, at a guy that's close to Ray Allen's age, you look at a guy like Vince Carter with the Hawks. He's averaging almost 16 minutes a night this year at 42 years old. And guess what? Ray Allen, right now, he's in twice as good a shape as what Vince Carter's in. And Vince Carter's in great shape. But Ray Allen's got, like, no body fat on him. He looks exactly the same as he's always looked. And seeing him tonight, watching what he was able to do, yeah, he still has the incredibly beautiful, incredibly sweet jump shot. That's never going away. But he also still has that handle. He still has elite athleticism. He can still jump, 9 rebounds. He just looks like somebody that could be a difference maker in limited minutes on a contender. And that's the role that he wanted to have in this league as recent as a couple of years ago. It is Sports Radio WEI. It is Late Night. My name is Patrick Gilroy. When we come back, we'll continue talking about Ray Allen, mix in some of our thoughts on Anthony Davis and this whole Dell Demp situation with the Pelicans saying enough, firing their general manager, firing the guy that Danny Ainge was on the phone with all season long, saying, hey, listen, don't take Magic Johnson's offer. Don't listen to Clutch Sports Group, Rich Paul, and LeBron James. Listen to me, because we have got the best package. We have got the best deal. Just have a little bit of patience and wait till the summer, and you can have Jason Tatum. You can have Jaylen Brown. You can have Marcus Smart. You can have multiple first-round picks. And now that guy that essentially Danny Ainge convinced to wait, that guy is no longer employed by the Pelicans. Is that going to affect the Celtics and their ability to potentially trade for Anthony Davis in a few months? So talking about Anthony Davis, Kyrie Irving, Ray Allen, mixing in some David Price thoughts as well at 617-779-7937.
Patrick Gilroy rocks late night now on Sports Radio WEEI.
I'm happy for all of them, you know, because to tell you the truth, you know, this whole thing has been a dumpster fire, you know, and it's just hard, you know, for guys. You know, we want guys to be professional and we want them to do this, but it's hard for guys, you know, to go through what they've been through. And to be able to come out and be the team of that quality, I'm happy for all the guys. I just thought that they did a great job.
What are your thoughts on AD leaving the building? Is that something that
don't know if he left the building or not. I have no idea. Then he left the building. I'm happy for the guys that, you know, that played the game and we won.
Pelicans head coach right there, Alvin Gentry, talking last night after the Pelicans. They beat a very good OKC Thunder team in their final game before the All-Star break, and in a game where, yeah, Anthony Davis, he played, but he wound up going out with an injury, injured his left shoulder. Luckily for the Boston Celtics, it doesn't appear that it's a structural damage, just some sort of a mild strain, and there's actually talk that he might still play in the upcoming All-Star game this weekend. But you look at the situation, and you look at the fact that Gentry called it a dumpster fire last night, and he's absolutely right. And the way that Dell Demps handled his situation here, you know, it's not good. He's a guy that, quite frankly, has had limited success anyways. He's been with the Pelicans for 9 seasons now. He's never really been able to put a good team around Anthony Davis. When you look at the best chance that team had was last year or 2 years ago when they had DeMarcus Cousins and they had Rajon Rondo last year. And you look at the playoff success that they wound up having with Rondo at the helm, and it blew my mind that they didn't bring Rondo back, because he and Anthony Davis actually played very well together. And you see Rondo, he's having a pretty nice year this year with the Lakers, and he's still a capable point guard in the NBA. But that shows you the commitment level, or the lack thereof, a commitment level from that Pelicans franchise overall as a whole. But the fact is this: Pelicans ownership, Pelicans leadership, they simply did not trust Dell Demps, their general manager, their former general manager, to oversee this next overhaul. Because this move, this trade of Anthony Davis, is the trade that is going to define this franchise for the next decade or decade plus. Whatever assets they get back, whatever they wind up bringing back in this trade. Because just because they fired their general manager does not mean that they're still not considering trading or still not will trade Anthony Davis. He's absolutely going to be traded this offseason. That part of it doesn't change. The question now is, depending on who they bring in to replace Dell Demps, does he still value the Celtics trade assets to the same level that Dell Demps did? Because ultimately here, Dell Demps, he considered the Celtics trade assets, especially that trump card that the Celtics could offer in Jason Tatum, he considered that much more valuable than what the Lakers were offering. Because if he valued what the Lakers were offering, and they were offering just about everything that they could offer, each and every one of their young players, they were on the table. Multiple first-round picks, they were on the table. But the one thing that the Lakers could not offer was Jason Tatum. Dell Demps covets Jason Tatum. The question is whether it's Mike Zarin, who is now with the Celtics and has been with the Celtics for years under the tutelage of Danny Ainge. You know, if he goes there, does that mean the Celtics are still in very good shape? I think so, because ultimately we know that Mike Zarin understands just how special Jason Tatum could be. So if Tatum truly is on the table, Celtics fans should feel pretty good if Mike Zarin gets that job. But right now, they've hired Danny Ferry, who was a member of the Pelicans organization anyways, as a consultant. So he wasn't full-time, he was a contractor essentially, but now he is the interim general manager for the remainder of the season. If he gets that job on a full-time basis, I have no idea how he feels about the Celtics trade assets versus, say, the Lakers trade assets. He may very well value what the Lakers can offer much more so than what the Celtics can offer, which could change everything for these franchises. But the one thing that we do know is that the Pelicans ownership, they wanted no part of Dell Demps making this decision. Because this decision and the haul that they get back for Anthony Davis, this is probably the most important move in the history of their franchise. It has the ability to set them up with a combination of young talent and draft picks for the foreseeable future. This is going to mold and shape their franchise for the next decade. And if they make a mistake here, if they strike out, if they screw up, then that's going to screw their franchise up for the next decade. But on the flip, if they get the right players, if they do trade him and Jason Tatum is a part of that deal, and Jason Tatum ultimately becomes a franchise player, he ultimately lives up to his full capabilities. You know, he becomes a junior version of, say, a Kobe Bryant, an elite scorer. Everything that we see in Jason Tatum and all the potential that Celtics fans are so reluctant to want to part with, if he actually lives up to 100% of that potential, then that's a great move for the Pelicans. But if he winds up striking out and essentially has a mediocre career where he's forever a 16, 18-point-a-night guy, maybe a guy that makes an all-star team or two, then that's not enough. You're not getting nearly enough in return for a guy that right now is a top-five player in the National Basketball Association. It is Sports Radio, WEI, room for you guys at 617-779-7937. Back out to the phones we'll go. Let's go to Paul. Paul's in the truck. Paul, you're next up here on WEI.
Yeah, hi, Patrick. How are you?
Good, Paul. What's on your mind, man?
Good talking to you. Hey, Ray Allen, I want to keep that spot available in case a big man becomes available, if it, a big man is bought out like a Gortat or on DeAndre Jordan, because, you know, I must tell you, I still like Ray Allen, and I didn't, you know, he left, but, you know, at 43 years old, you don't beat father time, and I know Ray's got a great shot. I understand that, but defensively, he will be abused. The opposing team will go at him, and he'll end up giving up more than he gets, so, you know, if you bring him on board and then a big man becomes available, then what? You cut him anyway.
So last, I was with you. I was 1,000% with you last night. But then I had a guest on with me last night. I had John Corrales, who is the Celtics beat guy for MassLive.com. And I mentioned the two guys that you just brought up. I love the idea of bringing Martin Gortat in here. I love the idea of a DeAndre Jordan, but I think that he is a bit of a reach if the Knicks decide to cut him and to buy him out. But here's what I was told, and this guy is as good as they get when it comes to information. He said essentially that both Gortat and DeAndre Jordan, if they do get bought out, neither one of them would consider coming to the Celtics because they want to go to a place where they're going to play significant minutes because they're still looking for their next contract in the NBA. So that's why I think of a guy like Ray Allen. We know that he's not looking for a long-term deal anywhere. Anything that he gives you is gravy. And even if he didn't play, I go back to what Kyrie said 3 weeks into the season when he said that this team is lacking a 15-year veteran in their locker room. And I still think that Ray Allen could give you something 5, 6, 8 minutes a night. But more importantly, I think that he could be that calming veteran presence that Kyrie pointed out months ago that this team needs.
Well, I don't know about that veteran presence when the way he left here. That wasn't too good the way he left here. That didn't show me any veteran presence. But matter of fact, we got to protect ourselves against Aaron Baines. Aaron Baines has been out of the lineup quite often this year.
Yep.
And he's a big factor. If we lose him again, we're cooked. I mean, he doesn't score, but he's a big body. He's a big presence in there. He plays great defense. We have to wait for a big man to become available. I don't want to give it up to a 43-year-old spot shooter where, you know, you don't beat father time. And now, with Colin Kaepernick. Colin Kaepernick, obviously, they colluded. The NFL colluded. Okay? I'm glad he won his case. He belonged in the NFL last year. It was a disgrace because he's better than probably 80, 90% of the backup quarterbacks. You know, and I hear these people, like the whack job in the morning, Jerry Callahan, well, he doesn't want to play. If he wanted to play, he'd go to Canada. Well, even if he went to Canada to prove his worth, if the NFL colluded, they still were not going to bring him back and sign him, okay? So, you know, you listen to these whack jobs like Callahan that support that idiot in the White House we got there that lie. Colin Kaepernick never once said he did not want to play, okay? But Jerry Callahan will throw that out there all the time when that subject comes up. So I don't believe a word that comes out of Callahan's mouth because he's got an agenda, a conflict of interest, and he's a whack job. Just like the newly supporter in the White House that lies 24/7, 365.
Hey, Paul. Paul, I want to ask you this. Let's talk about this for a minute. So right now, Colin Kaepernick, you know, this thing is over. The case is over. The collusion is over.
And he won.
He got his money. But if it's the offseason, you know, if he decides, if he comes out and says, you know what, I want an opportunity to play. You heard what Chris Carter said yesterday on national TV, I'm sure, about him being the type of guy that the Patriots would potentially bring in. So
do you think
a team now would give him the opportunity to potentially try out for a position because the collusion case is now over?
There may be a couple, and I'd like to see him back because I think he's that good enough. They're better than any of his backups, and he can help a team. And I have no problem with him coming to New England. He didn't desegregate the flag or the military or any of that. You get a president of the United States that 5 times asked for the deferment so he didn't have to go into service when he had the supposed heel spurs, which was a complete lie, okay, because he didn't have heel spurs, okay? He's 72 years old, he walks better than me, and I go to the gym 5 days a week, okay? Okay, that's a fact, okay? So Colin Kaepernick was blackballed, okay? It had nothing to do with the American flag or the military,
I know.
Okay? So he belongs in the NFL, all right? They colluded, He won his case. I'm happy for him. Because the NFL is run by a bunch of communists anyway, owners. So, you know, they collude. So I just hope he won his case. That proves it right there.
Yep.
Okay?
He got his money. He won his case. And listen, man, exactly. I want him on the Patriots, too. I think that right now he's a perfect backup quarterback. Maybe he's a bit of a long-term solution, I don't know, or at least a stopgap solution once Tom Brady retires. And if he's able to come in here and be a decent backup quarterback, I feel like Patriots fans, and a lot of you guys, I know you don't want Kaepernick here. I know you don't. But the fact is this. If Tom Brady went down in game 3 next year and he was going to miss, say, 6-7 games of the season, I bet we'd all feel much better about this team's likelihood of staying afloat with Colin Kaepernick coming in and relieving Tom Brady in that situation as opposed to Hoyer. And I promise you that that's the case. There's no getting around that as a fact. Hoyer is not a guy that's going to keep the Patriots afloat if Tom Brady goes out with some sort of multi-week injury. But I still feel at Kaepernick's age, despite the fact that he hasn't played in a couple of years, you get him a full training camp, a full offseason under his belt, he has still got the ability to play NFL football at a higher level than a Hoyer. And there is no doubt in my mind about that. It is Sports Radio, WEEI. It is late night. When we come back, there is still room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937.
Fordway, Merlone, and Fourier are headed south.
You guys are the biggest suck-ups.
A man tells you to put on a suit, you know what you do?
You put on a suit.
Starting Wednesday from 2 to 6, OMF will be broadcasting live from Fort Myers and bringing you the very latest news and opinions. The Sox get set to defend their title. That's OMF live from Fort Myers. Brought to you by Shaw's Supermarket, Northeast Electrical Distributors, Norfolk Power Equipment, and Arbella Insurance. On the home of the Sox, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Sweet strawberry icing. You were strolling along in goodwill when just past that mid-century side table and denim jacket you spotted them, nestled in their display case. Miniature donut earrings. Oh, yes! Yes! Your favorite half breakfast pastry, half all-day dessert food, made into your favorite form of ear candy. Oh my! Those bejeweled sprinkles have satisfied some unknown hunger within you. Shh, do you smell that? That's the sugary scent of shopping success. For this is Goodwill. And with every item you buy, you fund local job training and more. So go forth. Bring home those donut earrings. And bring home so much good to your community. Goodwill. Bring good home. Brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Treat your Valentine to delicious menu specials this weekend at the 99 restaurants and enjoy their perfectly flame-broiled twin petite filet mignons or slow-roasted prime rib. The 99. Always the real deal.
Talk all Boston sports with Patrick Gilroy on Sports Radio WEEI.
Final segment here. Late Night Sports Radio, WEI. It's Patrick Gilroy with you as we'll make our way together up until midnight tonight. Still room for you guys at 617-779-7937. Let's get right out to these calls here. We'll try to get in as many as possible before we get out of here. Let's go to John. John is in Maine. John, you're next up here on WEI.
Gilroy.
Johnny.
I would love to see Ray Allen come back and contribute some quality minutes to the Celtics as that, you know, sixth man or 15th man or whatever you want to call him.
Did you watch him tonight, John? Did you see it?
I was working, but we had the game on at work, so I could catch a few glimpses. But when I get home, I'm going to have to watch it. I did record it.
He looks exactly the same. I mean, they had this four-point shot, so the game was sponsored by Ruffles Potato Chips, and for every four-pointer that was hit, they donated $4,000 to the Special Olympics, and Ray was out there with his silky smooth shot, you know, hitting threes, hitting fours. But more impressively, this is what I want you to watch when you watch the highlights tonight. I mean, his handle, his ability to get to the hole, and I realize the competition in the celebrity game isn't all that much. But you mean to tell me that in this league where it's predicated on three-point field goals and in this offense where, I'm sorry, but Brad Stevens, he's got this ability to get guys open. If you can manage to get Ray open in the corner a couple of times, play him 8-12 minutes a night, I think he serves two roles here. I think that he gives the Celtics another viable three-point shooter in the postseason, but I still think that he also could be that guy that Kyrie Irving was talking about all those months ago.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And so the fact that the league is predicated on three-pointers now, it's hard for people to view Marcus Smart as the leader of the team that I think he is and that I've been saying for a couple of years now. But to me, he is. And I went out and bought my Marcus Smart jersey in the offseason like I said I was going to. I mean, he's just a junkyard dog and a game changer. And the team has really played a lot better since Brad Stevens moved him and was a Morris into the starting lineup.
Yeah, and that happened 20 games into the season. Since then, they've had the best record in the NBA. It hasn't always been perfect, but they have. But here's the thing with Marcus Smart. You're right about him. He is absolutely one of the leaders of this team, if not the leader of the team. Now, he was on fire from three for a prolonged stretch, but I believe he's 0 for his last 20. There aren't many guys in the NBA that can go 0 for their last 20 from three, and fans still love him, and fans can't get enough of him. But that's exactly what Marcus Smart is. He is a junkyard dog. He does do all the dirty things, all the little things that need to be done in an NBA game. And typically you see those guys embodied in somebody like a Dennis Rodman or somebody even like a Kevin Garnett, somebody that's going to mix it up, somebody that's not afraid to throw a little elbow cheap shot, somebody that's not afraid to dive to the floor, somebody that's not afraid to be the emotional leader. Very rarely do you see guys like that carve out this type of career as a 6'2 guard. But that's exactly what Marcus Smart has done. But I don't think that Marcus Smart's a guy that the Celtics can rely on to be a consistent 40% three-point shooter. That's just not in his repertoire. He does get hot, and he's been very good this year overall. But the fact that he's still 0 for his last 20, that tells you all you need to know about Marcus Smart and his ability to at least stay consistent from the three-point line. Let's stick with these calls. Let's go to Rob. Rob's in Boston. Rob, you're next up here on WEEI.
Oh, am I on?
Yeah, you're on.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about Colin Kaepernick.
Okay.
I think Kaepernick's a fraud. You know, you hear all these people talk about, well, you know, he went to the Super Bowl, so, you know, he's a good quarterback, but he got benched. He lost the starting job. You know, nobody wanted him then. So it's not like, you know, he went to the Super Bowl and started protesting, and then all of a sudden he lost his job. He lost his job before he started protesting.
But you said something there that you said, Rob, you said that nobody wanted him. That's not the case. I mean, the Denver Broncos offered him a job, and he had multiple job offers on the table to be a backup at the time. He didn't want to be a backup. And then everything went down. So you got to look at the timing of everything here. And I don't think that Kaepernick is somebody, like, I'm not on board with what Chris Carter had to say when he suggested that, you know, the Patriots should bring Kaepernick in to be the heir apparent to Tom Brady. That's not what I think here. But I do think that when you look at the putrid state of, say, the Patriots' backup quarterback situation, if Tom Brady went down for 4 or 5 games next year, I feel like Colin Kaepernick is much more likely to keep the team afloat than the current option that they've got.
Yeah, I wouldn't argue. I'm not arguing in favor of a Poyer, of all people.
Okay.
You know, I mean, Hoyer would keep me awake at night if anything happened to Tom Brady. I think he's one of the worst backups we've ever had. But I'm just talking about, you know, Kaepernick individually.
Yeah,
I don't.
Do you think he's good enough to be? Do you think right now, at 31 years old, 2 years removed from the league, do you think that he at least deserves the shot to go out there and prove himself as a capable NFL football player?
I do. I do think he is, but I don't agree that the state of his career is totally due to being blackballed. I think he was on the downward spiral anyway. He's not a starter.
No, he's not a starter. And I actually was with you, and I kind of believed that sort of theory for a long time until what happened today. I mean, not for nothing. You know, we know all we need to know now. We'll never get the details because when cases settle the way that this one did, part of it is absolutely an agreement where the details aren't going to come out. But I promise you that Kaepernick's defense team, Kaepernick's legal team, Kaepernick's agent and his lawyer, they absolutely were able to uncover some sort of proof that there was collusion, be it an email chain, some sort of an audio file, some sort of a video file. They've got something proving that these NFL owners colluded against Colin Kaepernick and decided as a whole, as a group, that they were not going to bring him in to try out to be a member of their football team. It is Sports Radio. WEI, room for you guys at 617-779-7937. Let's stick with the calls. Let's go to Ryan. Ryan's in Fall River. Ryan, you next up here on WEI.
What's going on there, buddy?
Hey, Ryan.
Hey, listen, I've been sick all day. I've been listening to this whole talk tonight. Ray Allen, Ruffle Challenge. Are we joking? Is there nothing else to talk about? I mean, I know it's the All-Star break.
It is the All-Star break.
We're kind of bored.
Did you watch Ray Allen tonight?
Ray Allen?
So,
no, he's 43 years old. He's not going to do it. I mean, you're talking about bringing a guy. We're actually talking about a 43-year-old guy.
I am. So right now in the NBA, you've got Vince Carter, who's 42, and he plays 15 minutes a night for the Hawks.
And how many good games does he have?
He plays well. I'm looking
once in a while.
I'm looking for Ray Allen to come in, be a veteran leader, can a big three, maybe leave the Celtics on better terms this time around. I hated the fact that I hated Ray Allen when he left. That was a man. I mean, I got his jersey. My wife had his jersey. We love that guy. He was one of the Celtics that I told my 2-year-old kid, my daughter, that's a guy you want to look up to. And then he screwed us. He left for the enemy. He left for the enemy when the wound was fresh. I mean, the Celtics losing game 7 of the Heat. I don't want to talk about this. I can't rehash this again. It's time for me to leave. And I'm talking about Ray Allen leaving the Celtics for Pat Riley. I can't do it. It is Sports Radio WEI. This is Late Night. My name is Patrick Gilroy. Stay tuned. It is SB Nation Radio. That comes your way next. Bye-bye.